And here we go. This is your favorite hour of the week. It's the Arrowhead Pride Podcast. Pete Sweeney here with the player, Sean Barber, the blog father, Barbershop, Joel Thorman. Sean, it's the holiday week. I know you got to be feeling good. What's going on in your world?
Man, I just, you know, I can appreciate in the holiday season. It's kind of like I've gifted Joel my nickname because, you know, I like the way you pronounce it and you announce him as Joel Barbershop, the God. I mean, he just takes everybody's. So for Christmas 2017, man, you are the you're Barbershop.
You're a giver. I can't help but that all of our podcast fans call me the Barbershop.
You know what I'm saying?
All throughout Kansas City. Fan after fan.
It's the season for giving. The season for giving. I can like it.
The Chiefs were given a gift this weekend, and that is a terrible Miami Dolphins team coming into town with the opportunity to win the AFC West. The Dolphins coming in at 6-8. It's very simple. Win, and the Chiefs win back-to-back AFC West championships. Game Sunday afternoon at noon, Arrowhead Stadium. If you're not going out to the game, hanging out with the family, you'll hear Kevin Harlan and Rich Gannon on the call. But before we get into this game against the Miami Dolphins, first of all, big game against the Chargers. Chiefs coming away with the win. What'd you guys learn?
The Chiefs could be good again. Maybe. You know, I think the Raiders were kind of more of a flawed team at the time, and so that win maybe didn't feel as good as this Chargers one did. But they were playing as well as anyone, and the Chiefs just, you know, stifled them offensively and defensively. I thought they had a really good day. You know, it's one of those performances. You're like, hey, if you go into, you know, Pittsburgh and put up a game like that, like, that's going to be a pretty good game. That's going to be a tight game. So maybe they can compete.
I found out that, you know, game in and game out, it's a four-quarter fight. No matter what it looks like the first half, the first quarter, whether the running game is going or not, the Chiefs have they have some persistence to them. They'll keep coming. They'll keep playing Andy Reid's ball, and effectively they'll at some point in the game when the tide turns, they become the better football team. And when they become the better football team, they put points up fast. Defense starts creating turnovers, and before you know it, we won by 20. So I don't know what it says for them as a whole. I mean, I think they need to learn how to get a lot more of this positive. Like a positive start to the game to, you know, get some of these better teams. But against the Dolphins coming up this week, man, if we can just put together a good two or three quarters of playing Andy's ball and defense, you know, doing what we do, I think we'll have a great outcome.
I learned that I am stunned because I thought this season was over in the middle of the year when they were losing game after game. And I thought there was no way they could get back to that 5-0 Chiefs. But you saw in this Chargers game, the defense was feeding off the offense. The offense was feeding off the defense. Special teams did their job. And for the first time in a while, they pounced on a team. You know, like Phillip Rivers was really losing that game for the Chargers, and the Chiefs were forcing that to happen. And not only forcing that to happen, but on each turnover, they were scoring points. And it's that step-on-your-throat mentality that you really haven't seen since New England and Philly and those games earlier in the year. And what better time to have it than now when the playoffs are about to start in a couple weeks. That being said, you could play a dud against the Dolphins and then need to win in Denver. So you never know. It's a week-by-week league. But, I mean, you got to be kind of optimistic coming away from this game.
I mean, I think that one of the biggest developments for me is it's the second week in a row that the pass rush has looked really good. And when the pass rush is on, man, they just get the turnovers. And it just creates so much positive momentum. So I think that's like the most important part of the defense, and they've brought it the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, the Chiefs, we lose to the two teams from New York, and then we come back and beat
the three.
Three teams from New York, and then we come back and beat our division foes who, like we said, the Chargers were playing, looking at one of the hottest teams in football at the time. And we take care of both of those opponents with no problem.
My favorite stat from this Chargers game, that Phillip Rivers hasn't beaten Alex Smith since the iPhone 5 was just released.
I just got rid of my iPhone 5. So.
December 2013. That next week is the four-year anniversary.
Joel, that's what we call a nice segue into our news segment, because the Pro Bowlers were announced this week, and Phillip Rivers made the Pro Bowl and Alex Smith didn't. The Chiefs Pro Bowlers being Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, and Travis Kelce. Guys, did Alex Smith get snubbed here?
Yes. I think the problem is, like, my analysis of it, when most of this Pro Bowl voting went down, Alex was on one of his down stretches and Phillip Rivers was winning every game and playing really well.
You know, it was the old Alex.
So I think that kind of flipped it. But statistically, if you look at the entire season, I mean, usually we're arguing like intangibles for Alex and he doesn't have the numbers, but not here. His numbers are better than Rivers so far. He has half the interceptions, another touchdown pass, completes more passes. You know, his team is better. I just would have gone with Alex Smith here. He'll be top alternate. You know, Brady's not going to play. And
proud moment for the president of Team Liz this week, because Elizabeth Smith wanted to light up Twitter, and Alex Smith said he had to manage her from going on Twitter and lighting up the NFL for not making him a Pro Bowler. Proud moment for Team Liz. I mean, I'm the president of Team Liz, so I'm happy she wanted to get on Twitter. I mean, because he really did deserve it, and for Rivers to get in above. You know, it's kind of that name thing, because Rivers is usually consistently good over the years. Alex Smith is consistently good, but maybe not on that Pro Bowl level. He is a first alternate, though, and with the way the Super Bowl works, if the Chiefs don't wind up making it, he should be there once again. Sean, anyone else you think got snubbed on the defensive side? No defensive players for the Chiefs.
I mean, you can look at, you know, defense. You can always look at Marcus Peters, but it's always kind of a, it's kind of like a, who's doing well, who's the public eye, who they believe. It's kind of like a little celebrity contest. MP, he's going to rub people wrong based off of his stance against the national anthem and his stance against trying to draw awareness for the kids from the Oakland area and stuff like that. So there's a lot of things about him as a person people don't like. But he is one of the best cornerbacks year to year for the, since he's been in the league. He's probably one of the top three cornerbacks. So, It is what it is. Comfort territory.
I think sometimes, too, players will get snubbed on lack of plays to them. You know, a lot of what Peters does now well is prevent the ball from being thrown his way. But the thing is, if the ball's not thrown his way, he's not going to get an interception. Same thing with someone you'll see this week in the Ndamukong. I mean, that's another guy who didn't make the Pro Bowl. But guess what? He's doubled and triple teamed each play. So it hurts you in that sense.
They ran into the Jacksonville buzzsaw. They got two corners on that list, the Jaguars did, and then Aqib Talib and Casey Hayward from San Diego. So, I mean, those are four really good players. Like, it's always tough to, I say Alex got snubbed or Marcus got snubbed. It's tough to go in there and actually, remove a guy and say, oh, he had a better season than this guy.
Marcus Peters is a better corner than Talib. Hands down, Talib is basically going off of his history, his, he's been planted as a Pro Bowler basically until he retires. There's nothing he can do to prevent that as long as he plays halfway decent ball. But Marcus is a younger, more aggressive, more talented cornerback than Talib is.
The Chiefs were, rumored to be in on Casey Hayward a couple of years ago when he went to the Chargers. They were trying to sign him. That would have been a hell of a signing.
I haven't seen Casey Hayward since he was burnt by Tyreek Hill.
Oh, my gosh. That was amazing.
He makes plays, though. He's a good corner now. He is a good corner.
I'm just kidding. But, Casey Hayward, very good. Chiefs could have used him, I think, earlier on this year, but now they have Darrell Revis Island on the other side. Getting into the injuries for this week, four Chiefs missed practice on Wednesday. Eric Fisher and Travis Kelce have an illness. Haven't really had any other details besides that. Tom Bahali missed practice because he's old. And Kevin Pierre-Lewis has a shoulder. I think the shoulder is the only new thing. And you expect guys with illness to be better by the weekend, I would hope.
Yeah, unless this is like some sort of crazy super flu that's going to knock him out all week. Hopefully it doesn't go throughout the rest of the locker room. Don't you see that sometimes where today there'll be seven more guys miss practice with an illness. You're like, oh man.
You know, I know it has nothing to do with the NFL, but it happened very recently with the WWE where several wrestlers got meningitis at the same time and they had to remove them from shows. So yeah, you hope it's not something like that where it is detrimental to, because meningitis is pretty serious, and B, spreads to other guys, because sicknesses can infiltrate a locker room. And we talked about how it's great the Chiefs are playing well at the same time. Wouldn't it be the worst news in the world if they got this sickness at the same time as the playoffs are approaching? So, yeah, you hope Eric Fisher and Travis Kelce are back by the weekend. As for game storylines, it's very simple. Win the game and you win the AFC West. Here's Coach Reed.
Yeah, I think there's got to be an urgency from everybody, I believe. And so that's what I felt coming in. When the players came in here, yesterday, so I feel it today. But there has to be an urgency all the way around. You're not guaranteed of anything, and so every game becomes the most important game. If it wasn't before, it surely is now. I mean, we put ourselves in this position, so we've got to make sure we stay focused. And you know, that's how I look at it. I can't speak for anybody, but I mean, I felt that the last couple of days. Yeah.
And then on the other side of this, you have Ndamukong Suh, and he, even though the Dolphins have 8 losses, he believes the Dolphins still have a shot.
We've got a shot. Yeah. That's all that matters. So we got to go out there and finish and take care of business. I got a great Kansas City team that we're going to go and play against, guys that I've seen played against before and guys that I haven't played against before. So that's what we got to take care of business.
I mean, come on. The worry scale has to be a 1 this weekend. I mean,
I feel like you go to Miami and you don't worry about your record at the end of the year. You go there, you get your big free agent deal, and you hang out by the beach. Like, I can't imagine they're that concerned about this.
No income tax. The weather's nice all year long. I mean, everybody's driving around in Maseratis and Bentleys.
It's probably 73 degrees in Miami right now.
Yeah, the party's in the city and the heat is on all night on the beach till the break of dawn. That's I think, why you go to Miami.
Did we unknowingly set you up, right?
No.
Was that like a Will Smith line or something?
Miami. No, dude, no. So is there any chance for the Dolphins to win this week? I mean, I guess we'll get into it more in predictions, but I mean...
Yes, that's what that losing streak did, is you can no longer say the Chiefs are, you know, guaranteed to win this game. I feel like you used to be able to say that against these bad teams. So there's still like a level of worry with me. But man, veteran team goes out. When you have the division on the line, you kick the crap out of the Dolphins.
The one thing I will say that it was noticeable this week, whereas during the losing streak, it was probably noticeable in the other way, is I go back and I watch the other team's press conferences from earlier in the week. This is a downtrodden team. Like, Gase was basically as low as it gets during his 13-minute press conference this week. I mean,
you have no shot at winning your division.
Even though this...
Like, it's got to be a bad season all the time in the AFC East for anybody not named the Patriots.
The vibe that I got, and... as much as they were saying we're still going to play, the vibe that I got was that, you know what, we just got to play these 2 games and we're looking forward to next year. I mean, that's just it. That said, I mean, if you're the Chiefs, this is where you step on their throat. You don't want to even give them any hope in this game, because there shouldn't be, especially the way you've been playing.
Yeah, if the Chiefs could start out this game like they started out last game, it's a possibility a team like Miami will get hot, not turn the ball over late in the game, and they could win the game. So I think if we see our Chiefs teams play like they did the second half of last week, running the ball, play action passes, those are ROPs or RPOs.
RPOs.
Those RPOs at a high level, and keep moving the ball, keep matriculating the ball down the field, finishing drives with field goals or punts, whenever a drive ends up with a kick is a good thing. Then we'll get the kind of a result we want. You know, this is they call it the Wild Wild AFC West for a reason.
Do they call it that?
I always did. The Wild Wild West. If you're part of the AFC West, you never know. Nothing is easy. There's nobody wraps up division titles in week 13 and 14 in the AFC West.
Well, he's even gotten it written down right here. The Wild Wild West. That's a T-shirt idea.
That's what kind of podcast it's going to be today. We're talking about winning the Wild Wild West, a duel with the Miami Dolphins on Sunday afternoon. When we come back, we'll talk X's and O's. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride podcast. We are talking the Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Miami Dolphins. Win, and you win the AFC West. First thing we're going to discuss is the Chiefs offense versus the Miami defense. As of late, this Chiefs offense has been a different offense than we saw during that disastrous midseason stretch, and a huge reason for that is that Andy Reid switched up the play calling to his offensive coordinator, Matt Nagy. Here was Reid on Nagy's play calling this week.
Yeah, he's been with me a long time, so he kind of knows how we go about business, or I go about business, and at the same time, I want him to add his flair to it. So, and there's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, again, we want to run the offense, and he believes in the offense, so I have trust there that he's going to do a good job with it.
How do you feel, Alex Smith?
Keeping the communication open, you know, all week as you talk about, hey, well, what if they play us like this? Then are we thinking this? You know, and I think just that open communication with everybody, including, Nags and Coach Reid, I think a little bit allows you to kind of play that game as you lead up to game day, right? And you play a lot of that out, you know, and that's because there's a lot of unknown. You just don't totally know sometimes. So I think you try to play a lot of that out through the week and keep that communication open. I think that pays off on game day.
Hard to know the details of what Nagy is doing differently. I know we talked about more RPO, but just as far as the belief in this offense, you finally believe that they can consistently score points again. And really, it's a direct correlation going back to that New York Jets game where that they exploded for 31 points, and they've been doing it every week since. Kudos to Matt Nagy on that.
Yeah, the running game is a huge part of that. The last couple of weeks, it's definitely looked better. And, you know, I think Therese had a piece and some other people including our own Kent Swanson at AP, noticed that they... you know, offensively, that they just, like, simplified a lot of things. Jeff Schwartz was the other one who mentioned that. And they just stopped getting cute, the way he put it. And I think that's really, you know, had a difference on the offense as a whole. And, yeah, when Kareem Hunt is running well, you just feel so good about this offense.
There's a trifecta going on right now. Yeah.
You got one of the trifecta on your chest right there.
Oh yeah, but right now between the open communication between Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, and Alex Smith is going at an all time high, and that open communication allows there to be a what they say is it's built on trust. They trust what each other is saying. They're no second guessing. I believe when Alex Smith comes to Coach Reid, Nagy, and say, "Hey, I'm seeing the safety," you know, he's sitting on X, Y, and Z. He's sitting on this in route. Then they don't have to look to the film to see if they. You know, if he's telling the truth,
There's been games too where Alex Smith and Andy Reid prior to have been brilliant, but there's also games where you could sort of notice they were overthinking it. It seems like Nagy has that little bit of spice, that little bit of wrinkle where it prevents them from really overthinking. There's still a simplified aspect to it, and it's working.
I'm in a relationship, you know, with my wife. And
you are?
We argue about some things. We have a discussion, and we think we're listening to each other, and we think we're communicating, but we're not. I'm stuck in my way. She's stuck in her way. And sometimes we need to have a third person, a little arbitrator come in and explain to me. Oh,
Estat. Is it Estat?
Sometimes he comes in. No, we have a third person comes in and say, hey, Sean, do you understand she's saying this? And hey, Nicole, do you understand Sean is saying this? And sometimes just hearing it from somebody else makes it all smooth. I think that's what's going on right here. Sometimes like now you're probably just saying, hey, Smith, Coach Reed's want you to stay on that third read a second long. Let's stay with Kelsey one more step, you know. We understand when you're getting the pressure, but hey, he's our read. Like stick with it.
It felt like they were getting maybe in a rut. Yeah. I mean, I think we're all kind of saying the same thing. They were mm-hmm. overthinking it or you know, whatever. But yeah, you know, someone mentioned it a couple of weeks ago that changing the play caller is also a tendency breaker, which, you know, I thought was a great point as well. You know, because it's just the fundamentals of the offense work, you know, just someone else doing it, changing it up a little bit, you know, apparently works.
One of the bigger things this year for the offense, too, has been the emergence of Tyreek Hill as a legitimate wide receiver. And we saw that on display last week. We already kind of talked about it with Tyreek Hill's fly route down the field. Alex Smith hits him in stride. Tyreek talked about the play this week. And if you listen to him, he was actually the second option on the play. But Smith realized he'd have man-on-man, one-on-one coverage. So they go to Tyreek Hill. And then if you listen a little bit further, Hill was asked about the Pro Bowl, and it's just some telling quotes from Hill this week. Here you go.
It's my route regardless, you know what I'm saying? It was a design play for someone else, and Alex noticed that it was bump and run, and he made a great throw. Offensive line protected well, you know what I'm saying? And I was able to get down the field and score.
So you were going to run that route anyway, but the ball was supposed to
be. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, Alex wasn't one of the three players who made the Pro Bowl team, but he was first ultimate.
Is this even a question right now? Yes. I mean, I do feel like Alex did get snubbed. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl quarterback. I mean, obviously, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback as a Chief. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the stats are there. So I feel like he did get snubbed. He's a great player.
Did you feel like you got snubbed as a wide receiver?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. Man, I was definitely upset. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I made the Pro Bowl, that's good, but I feel like, I mean, I made the transition to make it to the Pro Bowl as a receiver. That was one of my goals at the beginning of the year.
To clarify, oddly enough, Tyreek Hill gets a nod as a Pro Bowl player as a returner, even though he really hasn't been as effective this year. He probably just should have made it as a receiver, and to hear him upset about that, I think that's a good thing, and other teams have taken notice, Gase this week included.
Well, when you have the type of speed he does, it's one of those things you hear people say all the time, you can't coach it. So it's always hard to match up with him. And you got to be, you have to understand where he's at in formation. You got to understand, you know, what type of routes that can really cause some damage. You know, you can't miss tackles. You know, if you let him really just start getting free, give him green grass, that's where he'll do a lot of damage. And that's why he's had success the last 2 years, no matter what he's done, whether it be punt returns, receiver. I mean, he'll cause a lot of problems.
So Tyreek Hill, obviously one of the focal points of the offense this season.
Yeah, there is nothing better than watching him run that one-on-one route when everybody sees it beforehand too. You know, on that one last week, I definitely saw it in the separation he gets. So, yeah, I mean, we say it every week. There needs to be like three or four of those every single week where you just throw it up to Tyreek.
Because if you do it consistently enough, aren't you going to have to double him at a certain point? And that'll open up things for, I would imagine, for Kelce to be in the open field.
I mean, Kelce's the reason why, and Kareem Hunt's the reason why he's ever, you know, single covered at all. You know, because those guys can also do their own damage. But, you know, I mean, man, when Tyreek gets it going, when he hits a big play, I mean, it's a touchdown. That's why I think, like, he's kind of, you know, arguably the most important part of this, you know, trifecta here.
Yeah, Kelce and Hunt, they give up, you know, they'll hurt you for a first down, but we know about Hill. When he gets by your defense, man, there's no catching him from behind. There's no, when he's even, he's leaving. And well, I think what did they say? It's hard to outthrow the cheetah. Once the cheetah's loose, you can't outthrow him. Just chuck it deep.
Just that separation he has right when the ball's like in the air is just like crazy. He turns it like into another gear, and if you slow it down like frame by frame, it's just nuts.
If you watch any film on him or just of this year, and you're a cornerback or a safety, and you somehow are one-on-one with them, how are you thinking about bumping and running? Because God forbid you miss. It's going to be the worst piece of film all week, and you're going to have to watch as he's 5 yards ahead of you for the rest of it. And it's amazing, too. We came out with the P-shirts this week. It's amazing that he's been able to do that not only once, but like multiple times this year, because to have that showboat, you have to be strides like 10 yards ahead of your
ball. Yeah.
And these are NFL players. This isn't college anymore. These are NFL players, so just a guy with – you understand why the Chiefs took a chance on him. You know, there was all this stuff about him when – the draft was happening, and you understand why the Chiefs took a chance on him, because he has talent you may have never ever seen before when it comes to that speed. I want to get to the Dolphins defense. Dolphins defense runs through number 93, Nadav Kansu. Here was Andy Reid on Sue and the Dolphins defense this week.
Yeah, well, first of all, they're very good on third down, very good third down defense. And 93 is a very powerful man. He's also smart. And their whole defense wants to play on the other side of the line of scrimmage, so we take that into account. And they've got good players, good coaches, and good players. So, well, we've got to have a good week of practice here. Make sure we get everything down.
So Sue's going to be a problem. Cameron Wake probably benefiting from Sue. He's got 9 sacks this year. Another tough challenger for the offensive line. But I can just feel the screens coming. It's just going to be screen city. All right. I mean, is that fair to assume?
Oh, I think that's totally fair. And in a game like this, I think that's probably the best move. Like, Sue definitely does concern me. I would be concerned if I were Alex as well. I feel like he's pretty liberal with when the whistles actually blows, you know, how he hits quarterbacks. So, yeah, he's absolutely going to be a handful too. But man, last 2 weeks they faced you know, pretty good pass rushers, Mack and Ingram and Bosa, done pretty well against them.
There's a term in football, it's called playing through the echo of the whistle. And Sue is probably the if you want to see it in action, you watch film of him, you watch game film. He doesn't stop at the whistle. He waits until the echo of the whistle stops, but he does it every play. So sooner or later, as a ref, you kind of get a little bit lenient. Late in the game when he hits people a little bit late, you've been seeing him hit people a little bit after the whistle all game long, and you just kind of – that's just how he does things. So he's very consistent in that, so he doesn't get really flagged for it that much. I mean, he's been in a lot of trouble with personal fouls and stuff early in his career. But what Coach Reed said about him is he's definitely – when you say powerful, he's probably one of the most powerful players in the NFL as far as moving your offensive lineman out readjusting that defensive line to be in your offensive backfield. And he uses that in a dominating way. He dominates guys on the other side of the ball, but he is not a meathead. He is a very smart.
He's very quiet when he talks.
He is a very smart, cerebral player. And that's what kind of scares you about a guy like that, because he's not just playing with a bunch of emotion, uncontrolled. You can't use that against him, because he does play it's kind of like chess out there.
It's going to be so pivotal, I think, this week for Alex Smith to get the ball out quickly. And that's something he does well. So it's just something he does well that you're going to just want to see a little bit more this week, because you don't want Alex Smith also taking any licks, whether it be a sack or not. Because, I mean, this guy could hurt you. And then all of a sudden, you're with your backup, a la the Eagles, heading into the playoffs.
Well, I think Mahomes is going to be playing week 17 anyway. So if Alex needs another week off because he gets dinged up, that'll be all right.
Other two names to watch, Rashad Jones. That's the safety for the Dolphins. He was actually named to the Pro Bowl. Another name to watch you maybe haven't really heard of before, Xavien Howard leads the team with 12 passes defense and the four interceptions. Final word, key for the offense this week, Sean.
Consistency. Just keep him out of a third and long, like Coach Reed said. The Dolphins are a real good third down team as far as third down
completions. There you go.
Efficiency, I think it was the word I was searching for. Come on, S-Dot. When I'm missing the word, you're supposed to fill me in. So they're good on that third down efficiency. But to keep those third and longs to third and shorts, you got to do good on what? First and second down. So, you know, heavy run game, heavy short pass game, and those early downs make second and short. Give it some plays that we can really start to attack down the field and manipulate their safeties.
Turning the page now to the Chiefs defense versus the Miami offense. As we heard on Saturday night, the crowd should once again be bringing it on Sunday, and the Dolphins are aware of that.
It's loud. The environment, it's a great environment. You know, it's one of my favorite stadiums to go to, being in that division, you know, to go play a team, and, you know, those fans are, I mean, they're into it, and it's hard to hear, and it's, you know, when it comes a tight game, they try to affect the other team.
Mr. Jay Cutler back in the building.
Oh, man. He's for a while there, he was on track to be just behind Jay Cutler, or just behind John Elway in terms of my most hated NFL people, but turns out he's not very good. but it will be good to see him come back to Arrowhead, throw two or three picks, which I think he's absolutely guaranteed for. I don't know if that's as much of a storyline for Chiefs fans these days, just because it feels like it's been several years since he's been like actually relevant in Denver, you know.
And he used to be very good. I mean, I hate to say it, he stinks. He stinks now. So that the luster of an enemy or, you know, a rival really kind of wears off when you stink this bad.
2 weeks ago, this team beat the Patriots. So that, I mean, stinking or not, what do you call it, Smoking Jay? Whatever,
Smoking Jay Cutler.
Whatever he is.
Ripping haters.
He was able to put a pretty good offense performance and beat Belichick's team and Tom Brady's team, who we all think is probably one of the best teams in the AFC. There's a little bit of fight left in that dog. So, I mean, like you said, we gotta kind of beat it out of him early. But about crowd, what I say is loud and proud. That's the Arrowhead.
That's why
crowd.
I think early is so important this it game. Is, because if you is. Can jump on them 10-0, 13-0, I think this game will be over in the first quarter. It's just a matter of you don't want to give them any hope. You know, if you get up by 7, you don't want to let them jump up to a 10-7 lead, and then all of a sudden it's a game. Jump on them, step on their throat, crowd will be hot. Game over. Like that, I think that's really the key.
We are headed for like a 20-3 first half lead, and then you just sit on it and win 20-19. That's exactly what's going to happen. We're all going to be angry as hell, even though they won the division.
Or everyone's personal favorite, score 12-9. You know, 12-9 this year. Yeah. Chiefs front three, and their secondary is coming off a big game. We'll need a repeat of that. You want to see these Chiefs secondary members that are sort of surrounding Marcus Peters continue to play well, because you're going to need everybody once the postseason begins. Notable injuries for the Dolphins. They lost tight end Julius Thomas and right guard German Bouchard to the IR this week. Playmakers for the Dolphins offense, Jarvis Landry, they call Juice, Kenyon Drake as of late has come on. Wide receivers, Kenny Stills, Devontae Parker. But Parker, it's worth noting, missed practice because of an ankle injury on Wednesday. Any of these playmakers scare you, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, Kenny Stills is they got their own cheetah. I mean, he's a guy who can be a deep threat if you underestimate his deep playability. He can stretch field vertically like no other. Smoking Jay is able to throw the ball up to him. And that's the one thing about, you know, Jay Cutler is he doesn't value the possession. So he'll throw it over and over. I mean, he'll keep chucking that thing deep and just hoping his guys come up. He's really had a favoring for Devontae Parker this season because his playmaking ability on the 50-50 balls. So with him being a little bit injured, That's one guy who I really don't want to see Parker in there, man. I think he can make plays down the field. And Kenyon Drake has come from, I think he played at Oklahoma, Alabama, wherever he was a split down back. Not everybody was really that high on him, and he's got his opportunity there. And now without Jay Adai there, he's been given the full load, and he opened my eyes.
You talked about that Patriots game. He was real good.
Really good. And so fresh because he hasn't played all season. So you get a fresh back and some Pro Bowl type receivers, and you start throwing the ball around. If they start getting some momentum early, it could be a longer day than we want at Arrowhead Stadium. So I'm hoping it's cold. I'm hoping the weather's dreary, wet, and cold because those Miami guys ain't used to it. And then for our guys, it really get up, 20 points really early in the game and take care of business.
I'm just going to go ahead and slot Jarvis Landry in with 100 yards on this side of the defense. Chiefs are going to win the game, play well, but you know someone's getting 100 over there. Might as well be Jarvis Landry. He's really productive. It feels like predictable, you know?
I wanted to note this, too. I mean, this is probably a very underrated, low storyline, too. Anthony Fasano will be back in the mix because Julius Thomas went onto the IR, and people will forget this, but Anthony Fasano kind of led Kelce to a leadership role. It was Kelce as the number two. Fasano is number one his first year off that injury. And so I think there's a little bit of a relationship between those guys worth noting. Sean, last thing, defensive key for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Pressure right up the middle on Jay Cutler. Don't let him have any sense of being comfortable in the pocket. So big Chris Jones, a.k.a. Mr. GQ Smooth, needs to penetrate that pocket, man. We need to see him pumping up the crowd. I mean, we want to see him dancing during the intermissions. If you haven't been to the Arrowhead game to really experience Mr. GQ Smooth, it's not only the suit he wears during the game, to the game, but just his whole demeanor throughout the game is just so GQ. And he lives it up, and he does his post-game meetings with velvet collared lapels and stuff like that, man. He's really so entertaining for me as an ex-player just to watch him go about his business and can just continue to keep that energy flowing through Arrowhead. So hats off to Mr. Chris Jones.
We have an ArrowheadPride.com article up this week where Alex Smith gifted the offensive linemen with Yeti coolers. And Chris Jones is the one filming it, and he's narrating. He goes, look at these guys. Hard work pays off. Very jealous. Very jealous.
Yes, I would be jealous too. Especially there was a Gucci bag there too. I wonder what was in it.
Yeah, and no one really noted. No one really knows exactly what was in the bag, but I'm sure it was something very nice for these guys. But that's it for X's and O's this week. It's the Chiefs and the Dolphins. When we come back, we'll have predictions, we'll read some of your tweets, and we'll close down shop right here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast. Welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride Podcast. We're talking the Chiefs and the Dolphins this coming Sunday, noon, Arrowhead time, and it's prediction time. We'll start with you, Sean. Go ahead.
All right. I think the Chiefs are going to jump out to an early lead, 20 points. They'll be leading by 20-0 early in the game. Miami Dolphins are going to score 10 points right before halftime, 20-10 halftime lead for the Chiefs. Second half, the Dolphins are going to come out tied up 20-20 going into the fourth quarter. A late touchdown, game-winning drive touchdown, a pass from Alex Smith to my man, Travis Kelce. 87 and running, is going to win the game. And that's going to be the momentum that's going to win for the West. You win the game, you win the West. The Wild Wild West is ours. All of those things wrapped up in one final drive of the game.
I also think the Chiefs are going to jump out to an early lead, and then they're going to put it on cruise control for the rest of the game. Dolphins will come back a little bit. 26-20, Chiefs win.
Surprised you're going in that direction after going against them for the past couple of weeks, and then the Chiefs ended up winning.
Yeah, I was the bad luck guy there for a little while.
Well, here we go. I agree with Joel. I think the Chiefs get out to an early lead, and as sometimes happens at Arrowhead Stadium, you get the Arrowhead lull for a little while, and the Dolphins creep in. I got a 31-24 Chiefs final. I think they maybe recover an onside kick, and that'll be it for the game. Seth.
You guys took all the scores that I wanted to use, like all the scores combination. Sean did his, and I was like, okay, I'll think of a new one. Then Joel did his, and I was like, I'll think of a new one. You guys literally did every score combination I was thinking. That was freaky. Get out of my head. Wow, I need a moment to regroup here after that happened. I'm going to go with you guys. I think the Chiefs take an early lead. You know, it's interesting. You got this Dolphins team that whooped the Patriots, but yet they've looked so irredeemably bad. on so many other occasions. I think the Chiefs, they've gone back to picking off a lot of passes. They've become turnover machine, creating machines again. I think they're going to do just fine against the Dolphins. I'm going to say 34 to 13 with Butker kicking some deep field goals and winning me my fantasy league championship.
A little extra there from Seth. Seth, as we do every week, do you have some advice for the people?
You know, I do have some advice for the people. You know, it's the holiday season, guys. I've been giving this some thought. And interestingly enough, when you do what I do in family law, the number of cases you see that come immediately after the holiday season is stunning. And so I would just say this. You know, the holidays seem to bring out the best and the worst of us. Maybe don't let this holiday season be that thing that, you know, completely and utterly destroys your family to where you're calling a lawyer. There's your advice.
Seth, happy to give away the business for happier Christmas times this season.
Absolutely, I am. I just want people to be happy, man.
All right, well, Seth, enjoy the game this weekend. Enjoy your Christmas. Don't get in any fights.
Oh, I'll do my very best not to. Take care, guys.
Seth Kizer, guys, always a treat.
Good.
You know, it's always a bonus. I mean, we get the score prediction from all the film that he watches every day with the 48 hours he must have per day. I don't know how he does it. And then we get a little advice. Last segment of the day, of course, we're going to read your tweets. Turn it over to you guys. We got a couple today. Actually, some good questions today. So this should be a nice little segment for us. Jack Weber, at Jack Weber TX. Guess that means you're from Texas. Adam Gase has killed us in the past. He beat us as the offensive coordinator of Denver and the Bears with Cutler. Do you think that's him knowing how to beat us or our previous teams just being bad?
I think it was Peyton Manning for the most part. And then that weird, super weird Cutler game where he beat the Chiefs when he was with the Bears a couple years ago. That was the Jamal Charles injury game where everybody was stunned. That doesn't count. So I dispute that he's killed the Chiefs. I think it was just the Manning years.
You know, I just thought of this. The Sweeney family will be in town for the Chiefs game this weekend. The last game was the Bears-Cutler game.
Pete.
I didn't even think about that.
That's the last time they were here?
That's the last time they were here. That's crazy.
And, Adam Gates doesn't really – he doesn't move the needle for me. I think that, you know, just the Chiefs have not been historically that they didn't have played historically that well against the Miami Dolphins. But I think this year's Chiefs team is a little bit different. I think they're wired a little bit different. I think they're starting to click at the end of the season. They're kind of getting themselves ready for a playoff run, AFC West championship. And I think they'll come out and they'll put their best foot forward early and take control of the game.
You know, I think with all these similarities aside, every team and every year is different. I think the Chiefs are a different team than they were last year, and last year's team was a different team than the year previous. And, yeah, there's these similarities. But Jay Cutler, at this point in his career, and I understand they beat the New England Patriots, but I just don't feel like he's as good as he was then. You know, that was a crazy throw. If you remember at the end of the game, he bobbled the pass and just hit the throw late. I just don't see that happening again. I think this Chiefs team is too good. I think the defense is playing too well. Robbie Hinson. At RRH1382. If KC clinches this weekend, they should not rest starters against Denver. They are just finding their groove again. Came out of the bye week flat. Keep it going. Agree or disagree? Sean, you're stretching.
Because I've always felt like you just play the game. I mean, the game's on the schedule. You go play them. Get them in for a half. Let them get used to, you know, continue to get prepared, play the game. And then if you want to pull your starters out, you know, at halftime because – the game is meaningless, you do that. But the worst thing to do is to have a team come 2 weeks afterwards playing meaningless football and then have them trying to get geared up to play against the Titans or the Ravens or a team like that coming in who got momentum on their side. So when the engines get going, man, you don't want to cut that engine off. So I say we just keep things rolling.
As we learned, I think, with the Marcus Peters suspension, in Big Red, I trust. I think he's got a feel for these things. I think he's been doing it the same way for years and years, where he gives them the week off if he can. I know they did that, obviously, with the Chiefs earlier. So with all the injuries that happened throughout the year, I think the extra time is worth it. Take it. And I think that's probably what the Chiefs will do.
Andy Reid is a man set in his ways. And if I'm looking back to what he's done in the past, I think the veterans who need the rest will get the week off. He doesn't seem to be a guy who like believes in jinxes. I don't know.
Back in 13, he rested, I think, like almost every single starter. I would not be surprised if that's, you know, what he does at that point, if they're locked in.
I see them going in one or two directions. I think they'll either be pulled at the half, or he'll just stick with what he's done and rest the starters. I think there is something to continuing to have that routine. I don't necessarily think you want to keep Alex Smith in for three meaningless quarters either.
Can you? It's Mahomes, though. That's what we could possibly see. That's what every Chiefs fan is thinking about this game. You want to see Mahomes for the full game. It's a nice little preview here. You got a Mahomes question coming? Is that what you're saying?
So we got some similar questions coming. Joel Raines at RainesJ7 asks, with emergence of KPL and Ragland, are there any suggestions that this is DJ's last year in the NFL? Or if we'd be able to restructure his and Tom Lee Holly's deal to let them ride off in KC? I think this could be the last regular season home Chiefs game for Alex Smith, Tom Bahali, and Derek Johnson. That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, out of those, I'd say maybe DJ is the one most likely to come back. Even though he's moved into somewhat of a part-time player, when KPL got hurt, you know, DJ ended up still playing a ton of the snaps. So I wouldn't be stunned if they brought him back, but, you know, obviously it's not a good sign if you're already starting to cut back.
Yeah, we're going to need KPL to get that shoulder right as a linebacker. I mean, it's kind of hard to play the position with your shoulders banged up. So if he's not ready to go, we're going to have to kind of depend on Wilson to come back a little bit. I mean, DJ got a good thing going. When you're not having him play every down, he's being a lot more he's a lot more impactful when he plays situational football as far as a linebacker, you know, instead of playing every down. So I think you keep DJ the way he is. If DJ is willing to come back to the team at a reduced rate, or, you know, just to finish his career off, and you want to keep him as that specialty, that kind of a package linebacker, I mean, he has so much experience, and it's hard to coach that. Instincts and experience can't coach those things. So, you know, that numbers game is kind of weird when it comes to who's going to make it and who's not.
Maybe what you do is you put the Rova from Villanova in a starfish. Starfish position, call him the starfish spy. He just goes side by side like this, and Jay Cutler wouldn't even be able to see.
There is a position. It's called the Joker. It's a joke. I'm playing on defense. We take defensive ends, and we put them as linebacker in the middle of the field, and you can blitz, you can drop, you cover. I mean, you do a bunch of things. It's called the Joker position. So
the Joker from Villanova. The
Joker.
No, not quite.
Jason Collinsworth at JC Playmaker WNY. I wonder if that's Western New York. What needs to happen for the Chiefs not to trade Alex?
I would say, I mean, I used to say that an AFC championship was the line, but I mean, I'd say maybe it's a Super Bowl.
I got the scenario.
Even a Super Bowl loss, I would wonder.
The only scenario I see that Alex Smith stays here is if we do win against the Dolphins, and then we do start our newly deemed quarterback in game week 17, and somehow he gets injured versus the Denver Broncos, then you have to.
God forbid, Sean. Don't talk like that.
I mean, you asked how. The fans want to know how does Alex Smith stay? That's how he stays.
Can you imagine the disappointment of Chiefs fans if week 17 are waiting, Patrick Mahomes, New Year's Eve, and Tyler Bray runs out to the field? And that's the quarterback they have to watch in week 17.
Backup Joel Stave returns.
I mean, that's the smart move. That's the what I would do. I would play Tyler Bray the whole game.
As long as it's not Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill, I think I'm good. I don't care who plays. Joe Huston at JB Mastrar. Who would you rather play in the first round, Tennessee, Buffalo, or Baltimore? Don't let Sean say doesn't matter. Who would we actually not want to see wild card weekend?
I like how they say it doesn't. That's a good call out for Sean.
Tennessee, Buffalo, or Baltimore, who would we rather play?
So I'll do my list. I want to play the Titans first, and then the Bills, and then the Ravens, I think. But I'd feel pretty good against any of those teams. I say that as the Chiefs lost to the Bills 3 weeks ago.
Well, this is hashtag the new Chiefs.
Yeah, the new Chiefs. If the regular Chiefs are here, I feel good against all those teams, especially at Arrowhead, where they haven't given up more than 20 points since the Saints last year.
You hear that? That's the Titans backing into the playoffs. You want to play the Tennessee Titans. They stink right now, and they're just kind of getting in because they had such a good beginning of the season. They're kind of like the Chiefs, but they haven't figured it out. I think you want to play the Titans.
Mariota has like 10 touchdowns and like 14 interceptions. Like, what kind of starting quarterback has numbers like that? That's crazy.
Yeah, I think everybody would agree. We want to play the Titans. That's the opponent that we are kind of licking our chops for.
I'm quietly watching Buffalo, and this has nothing to do with the Chiefs, but they may miss the playoffs by one game against the Chargers. You know who they started against the Chargers? Nathan Peterman.
My man, Nate Peterman, dog. That's my guy.
I really want Buffalo to make it. Really want them to make it.
You just want to see those tailgate videos. But they got New England this week.
Well, no, it's just like that's such an awesome thing as a fan. You know, like I follow our Bills website, and just like they're so into it, and they haven't had the playoffs in so many years. Like, I really want them to make it. And like, I love what Jaguars fans are doing now. Like, the way, you know, they get to see a playoff team, like longtime bad teams making it. I love that.
The playoffs after not making it for years and years and years, that's a special treat, because there's nothing like playoff football. And sometimes, like, if you're a Chiefs fan in recent years, you get used to it, and you get like a little bit unnecessarily mad when they get eliminated. And I get it. But being in the playoffs is hard to do. Only six teams do it in the conference per year. So, you know, and one team wins the Super Bowl. You got to remember that too when you get to the playoffs. Anyway, Clinton Petrie at CBP 1996. Position group that needs to play the best going into the playoffs, or even a slim chance at postseason success. Position group that needs to be playing the best.
Outside linebackers. On either side, I mean, can I just say the pass rush as a whole? That's like half the defense. You know, I think Houston and whoever is on the other side, Tomba, when he's in there, just need to be able to rush the passer like consistently. And if they can't do that, they're eventually going to lose.
I believe it always starts at the line of scrimmage, starts in the trenches. So it's the defense and offensive line. If you ask me to prioritize them, I'm going to go with the defensive line, because at the start of every game is 0-0. If your defensive lineman is dominating the other opponent, then they don't score. They don't score, they won't win. Offensive, I think you can do things to protect your offensive line if they're a little bit outclassed, outmatched. You can throw it fast. You can do screen games and stuff. But when your defense is kicking the butt of the other team's offensive line, you can't do it. You can't run. You can't pass. You just kind of hold on tight and wait for a special teams touchdown or a defensive touchdown, because when you're getting your butt handed to you on that side of the ball, man, it's a sad, sad day. So I'm going with the most important phase is going to be the D-line.
I see your edge rushers, and I see your trenches, and I raised you an exact position and location in the field. That's the right cornerback and nickelback position, because during the Chiefs' terrible stretch, that side was getting killed, and every team has a number one wide out, a number one threat. And if the Chiefs, as it seemed like in the past couple of weeks, can prevent that area, that position from being targeted, I think that, you know, this success will be there. I mean, that being said, of course, this is a well-oiled machine. I mean, it's hard to really narrow down a position group, because if the edge rushers struggle, then it kind of bleeds into the secondary, same thing at the line of scrimmage. So it's hard to put a specific position, but I guess those are our three, all different positions. Derek Vreeland, at Derek Vreeland. Very original. Will Andy Reid continue to let Matt Nagy call plays into the playoffs, or is Reid itching to start calling plays again?
I think he gives it to him as long as it's going well.
Ride that pony.
I feel like he's kind of like Andy Reid's probably a little superstitious, and since they switched to him, they haven't lost. The offenses look good. Like, I don't know why they would stop. So I assume that they'll keep it going.
Hey, Derek, I'm a spoiler alert. I mean, it's the same plays being called, man. Like, you know, it's the same plays being called. The difference is just when you talk about a pass play, you have your progression of who's the number one, who's the number two, who's the primary on a certain route combination. So those things are might being tweaked by Nagy. You know, he's talking with the quarterback and say, hey, kind of stay with Travis a little bit longer. Or, hey, against this formation, we want to really, really highlight Hill on the outside first. But the plays, the alignments, the assignments, all that, it's still the same offense being run. It's just the who's the primary on each route.
Nagy will stay.
Nagy.
If they make the playoffs in the next 2 weeks, it'd be crazy to go back at this point when you're finding your top success.
Well, the actual timeline of it will matter. If the Chiefs are going to the divisional round, they're going to be like, you know, head coaching, like other teams are going to want to interview head coaches in that week in between. You know, the wild card and the divisional round. So it'll be kind of interesting, because Tobe, I bet, is going to get an interview someplace.
I love Tobe.
How come the mad scientist never gets any love? I love Bob Sutton. I think he's great. I mean, I know he struggled in the middle of the year this year, but other than years, Chiefs have been turnover machines. The yards per game have been a little bit better than this year. I love Bob Sutton. He gives great answers at the press conference, probably more than you need.
I feel like if you're going to an Andy Reid team, you go with Andy Reid's underling, you know, the next offensive, like, guru or whatever.
which is where, you know, what, where Peterson came from. So
Dave Tobe also, I mean, to your point too, Dave Tobe gets an interview per year.
Yeah, we have, you know, well, Harbaugh from the Ravens used to be Andy's special teams coach. Dave Tobe, you know, he's going to follow that same line, chain of command. He'll get an opportunity sooner or later. But we also have, you know, EB, the running back coach. He's very highly respected amongst the league as far as one of the brightest minds, I think.
He would be the best head coach. Yeah, he would. Bieniemy, as far as the press conferences, you think Mike Tomlin is good? Wait till you see an Eric Bieniemy post-game press conference.
He needs to be, like, you know, the position coaches don't jump that often. I mean, I don't know if he'd ever be in line for a coordinator position, but he seems like the perfect type of candidate. The guy who's obviously got it just needs to get that to the spot where they actually hire coaches, which is coordinators.
One time I was at a practice and Eric Bieniemy, one of his running backs, didn't do something correctly. It was either practice or training camp, but he just screams at the top of his lungs, "I wouldn't give you water if we were in the middle of the desert."
What's the other AFC West team that struggling at the coaching position? Is it Vance Joseph? Is right?
Denver? Yeah, yeah.
Don't, you know, Eric Bieniemy, where you went? Colorado?
Colorado, yeah.
Don't, you know what I'm saying? Don't discount it yet. You know, it could be.
That would be horrible just having to have to start rooting against Eric Bieniemy.
Man.
He's a fun guy to root for.
Hey, man, my crystal ball right here, S-Dot, his helmet is a crystal ball.
Is this a crystal ball? You've been hearing some things.
When I look into it, man, the voices. I hear voices.
Well, boys, we came, we saw, we conquered. It's a Christmas Eve edition of Chiefs football. The Chiefs playing the Miami Dolphins win, and you win the AFC West. It'll be a very merry Christmas for Chiefs fans if that happens. For Sean Barber and Joel Thorman, this has been the Arrowhead Pride Podcast. We'll see you guys next time.